T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #Admirals50. Now, live from the Fan Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen, and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results are again good. The Brewers, a big-time win over the Pirates, and it doesn't matter if they're the Pirates. It doesn't matter who they're playing. They're winning ball games, 14 of their last 16 games, and the Brewers definitely rolling here with 7 to play as they win again. Second consecutive night they have won 10-1. And welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind Post. Show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #Admirals50. Tim Allen and some company tonight. We'll get to that in just a bit as they get win number 85 against 70 losses, 15 games over 500, 16-4 since August 30th. So 16 of their last 20. An unbelievable run that's going on again here in the month of September. And it's really all about the pitching. And I know the 10 runs are going to jump out at you last night and tonight, but it is really about the pitching. One game on the homestand through six games, Brewers pitchers have given up 2 runs in one of those games, and that was it. And outside of that, they've been outstanding. They've just been absolutely outstanding throughout the homestand here and really throughout the run. Just a tick over 3 ERA coming into this game in their last 10 games. So pitching is where it's at. But this time in game 2 here, you get some more freebies. And you're seeing the difference between a team that's rolling and a team that, well, is waiting to be done for the 2019 season. Cubs lose today to the Cardinals. That, guys, that can be good and bad. And we'll do some inventory now on that. Nationals in play right now. They came into today's play a game over the Brewers, and the Nationals were holders of that first wild card position. Brewers come in a game back. Okay, it looks like both of them, obviously the Brewers win. It looks like the Nationals may win that game. They're into extras, but they take a 3-run lead into the bottom of the inning. And it looks like they're going to hold on to win. So the Brewers will still be one game back of the first wild card. However, here's where there's some breathing room. The Cubs lose to the Cardinals, and we'll get to that, the Cardinal team, in just a second. Cubs lose to the Cardinals today. Their 5th consecutive loss, and you talk about a team that's heading in the wrong direction, that's the Chicago Cubs. They lose today. That means the Brewers are 3 games over the next team, and that would be the Cubs, for the second wild card spot. So with 7 to play and a 3-game lead on your nearest competitor, Brewers are looking good, guys, to go to the postseason. They are. In some way, shape, or form, they're looking really good to get to the postseason. Mets after that are 4.5 back of the crew, so you're fairly safe there with 7 games remaining. But it takes really a couple of days here. If things go south for the Chicago Cubs and the New York Mets, that the Brewers could be celebrating in Cincinnati here, maybe possibly in game 1 and possibly for sure, probably game 2 or 3 if things shake out right. Now, on the other hand, St. Louis Cardinals, 3 games up in the division with 7 to play. And we'll play the what-if game here just a second, guys. If the Brewers get the victory tomorrow and the Cubs win, that would still maintain a 3-game cushion over the Cubs, but it would then bring down the division race to 2 games. That's not an insurmountable number, 2 games with 6 to play for the Brewers. I would love to see that happen, because if you take that one step further, how about a game 163, and this time it's not the Cubs, it's the St. Louis Cardinals, and you got to go to their place and win it again. Win the division again on the road to a rival like the Cubs or the Cardinals. Just saying. The Brewers taking care of their own thing, though, and that's what they have to do. They win tonight, the final 10-1. We'll get to some highlights in the game recap in just a second. 414-799-1250, 42,888 at Miller Park tonight. I believe it was section 216, row 8, seat 15, wins a car tonight. That's cool. Fan Appreciation Weekend continues. And now down to one final regular season home game. And your reaction on the Brewers, just amazing run again here in September. It just really is head-scratching. I mean, I thought it was good when it was, hey, man, they're putting something together here. They've won six of seven. They've won 9 of 10. Holy cow, they're the 9 of 10. 14 of 16. That is truly amazing. It is. Sam Schmitz is here. Evan Heffelfinger, yes, that's his name. He's here. And Adam Rigg from Brewer Nation is here as well. Adam Rigg, we call him Big Rigg. I don't know what's going on, what's in the water at Miller Park, but 14 of 16, 16 of 20, we'll take that.
Yeah, I think anytime you can play 875 baseball, you're doing pretty good for yourself. So, you know, it's been a hell of a run. This team has been on fire. Even we talked about it last time I was in the studio. You guys have talked about it, you know, over the last week or so. But that series against the Nationals, that's kind of where this corner seemed to start to turn. And since then, it's been kind of throttled down, you know, playoff baseball mentality, and they've been responding so well that they find themselves in the position that they're in today.
Yeah, and they're really in a good spot to make the postseason. I mean, raise your hand if this is out of left field, pardon the pun. But it sort of is for a good chunk of Brewers fans, guys, it is. And it's okay to admit that. It's all right to admit that you know, you didn't expect this. And I don't think anybody, guys, seriously, I don't think anyone expected a run like this. I think, you know, there was some sentiment that they will get on some sort of run. I didn't know what that run would be, but I knew it was in them. And again, I didn't think they were going to rattle off 14 or 16. I'll fully admit that. So,
well, nobody
but
did.
But who did?
Yeah, I was going to say, nobody.
Who would?
Nobody did, if you're being honest with yourself. Nobody. It's like when they acquired Christian Yelich last year. David Stern says, well, we expected him to be a really good player, but nobody expected MVP caliber, you know, yeah, all the home runs, et cetera. So, yeah, it's been a great run, but nobody would have predicted this kind of magic.
It is sort of magical. You get on a run like this, it's sort of special, if you will. And I wonder, I don't want to say, and you know, people talk about jinx and the superstitions of baseball, and a lot of baseball players and managers and coaches, they are superstitious as well. But I just wonder how this team would fare in the playoffs if they started right now. I really do. Guys, they're playing really good baseball. And we talked a little bit last night about and on the On Deck show about the patience at the plate. There's been 2.8 million walks here as of late. I don't know what's going on. And really, it does come down to some, you know, I won't say mediocre, but questionable pitching. I mean, the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Marlins and these types of teams are where they're at because of a lot of the players that they have. But this offense is becoming a little more patient. You know, they're not getting three-run home runs and two or three or four home runs a game here, guys. They're getting enough. Keston Hira, for example. I mean, he made up for a situation, as we get to our game recap here, he made up for a situation that was, it didn't start out well for Keston Hira in tonight's ball game. It did for Zach Davies. He gets a couple of quick outs, consecutive base hits after that, and then the error by Keston Hira directly leads to the one run that was scored by the Pirates tonight. and the one unearned run given up by Zach Davies in his four innings of work. Council going to some offense right there. 57 pitches for Zach Davies, and they go to their bench, and they go to their bullpen after that. But bottom of the first inning, Keston Hira definitely makes up for that as you get a base hit by Grandal. And with two outs, that aforementioned Keston Hira error, yeah, it's one zip, but he erases that.
3-2 again. Here in the deep left center field. That is back. And this one's going to fly. Keston Hira. Two-run home run for the rookie sensation. Number 18 on the year. And the Brewers take a 2-1 lead in the first inning.
18 hits number 18 for the crew. And they go up 2-1 right there. And now you're feeling okay. Because, again, first inning runs. How huge is that for this baseball team? Craig Counsell is just in love with first and second inning runs to play with the lead. There's no doubt about that. Eight pitch at bat, and it ends up with a two-run shot for Keston Hira. And it stays 2-1 as Zach Davies gets through 2, 3, and 4. And a leadoff base hit by Braun in the bottom of that fourth inning. Thames then hit with a pitch. Lorenzo Cain, the start of a big night for Lorenzo Cain.
There's Cain up the middle, base hit. Braun around third, he's going to score easily. Lorenzo Cain with an RBI. 3-1 Milwaukee.
3-1 as Brewers are looking to tack on. Arcia hits into a fielder's choice. Runners at the corners with one out. Davies is lifted there for Travis Shaw. And, of course, Travis Shaw does what Travis Shaw does. He's down 0-2 in the count. And we're shaking our head, scratching our head. What happened to don't you think that every time up about Travis Shaw? What happened to you? I mean, I do, too. And I try to live in the moment here in playoff race and pennant race baseball. But he then draws a walk. He works that count, and he works it full and gets the walk there. Trent Grisham, we talked about gifts and the gift of giving, and the Pittsburgh Pirates were in the giving mood last night, and tonight they did the same thing.
Bases loaded, and ball four.
Why do you throw that pitch? I mean, hadn't thrown that pitch for a strike in a while.
4-1 Brewers, another run is in. Diaz looks injured, looks like he tweaked maybe his knee.
And after a strikeout to Grandal, Moustakas, well, everyone else gets the gifts. You might as well give one to the Moose.
Here's a 3-0. Moustakas takes ball four. Another run is in. 5-1 Brewers. And the merry-go-round continues.
Wow, 5-1 at that point, and they played three in that fourth inning. RBI base hit by Kane. Bases loaded, walks to both Grisham and Moustakas. And we move to the fifth inning at that 5-1 score. Brent Suter, has he been amazing or what? More on him in just a little bit. A scoreless top of the fifth inning, 1-2-3 into the bottom half. Brewers back at it. Bottom of the fifth inning. Leadoff walk to Ryan Braun. One out later, he's on third base after a stolen base and a throwing error. And how about Lorenzo Cain? Dude, have a night.
Scherzer and Strasburg, right?
Off the middle, a base hit for Cain. It's another RBI for Lorenzo on his third hit of the night.
And yes, indeed, they do take advantage of another mistake by Pittsburgh.
Yeah, 3-for-3 and a couple of RBIs for Lorenzo Cain in that seven hole, which is super interesting. No doubt about it. So the game in sort of a comfortable situation. Suter, a scoreless top of the sixth inning. Brewers on the board in the bottom half again. Leadoff walks to Grisham and Grandal after a couple of flyouts to Moose and Hira. How about number eight, the veteran, starting to heat up.
Braun down the left field line. That's a fair ball. To the wall it goes. Grisham in to score. Here comes the cutoff and relay, and a hit first slide. Grandal scores. Braun goes to third. 8-1 Milwaukee. Ryan Braun drives in a pair with a double.
Yeah, Alex Claudio needs some work. Would get a couple of outs in the seventh. Albers needs some work himself. That's always a good thing when your bullpen arms just actually need to get loose and get some work in. They get through the seventh inning. Brewers not done yet. Times
got good here.
Corey Spangenberg works the walk, and how about the rookie Trent Grisham?
Times got good here in Milwaukee. Grisham sends that deep to left. That ball's got some carry to it, and she's gone. Trent Grisham, opposite field home run.
10-1 at that point. Junior Guerra and Jimmy Nelson in to finish up the eighth and ninth innings, and there's your victory, 85-70. 15 games over 500, and going back to August 30th, guys, they were just two games over 500. That's it. Two games over. It's just an amazing run here. Spark of the game in this one, I'm going to go with the veterans, and that's Ryan Braun on base three times. Same for Lorenzo Cain. They knock in five collectively. Three-hit day for Lorenzo Cain. Spark of the game, sparks of the game with Current Electric, your electrician superheroes at callcurrent.com. 414-799-1250. Brewers rolling. We're talking Brewers baseball tonight here on The Fan.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Well, guys, they do it again. Another victory for the Milwaukee Brewers as they run, as the run continues into the playoffs, a pennant race here in 2019. And a couple of months ago, not many people thought that that was going to happen. A 10-1 victory tonight. It's the first time in the modern-day era that a team has won 10-1 in back-to-back games at home in the month of September while trailing the front-running team by two games or more. I made all that up.
It's probably true, though.
It might be true. It might be true. Big Rig is here from Brewer Nation, our wrench-and-go drive of the game. After Keston Hira's error led to a run in the top of the first, he made up for it in the bottom half.
3-2 again. Here in the deep left center field. That is back. And this one's going to fly. Keston Hira. Two-run home run for the rookie sensation. Number 18 on the year. And the Brewers take a 2-1 lead in the first inning.
All the highlights tonight from Fox Sports Wisconsin. Brian Anderson, Bill Schroeder on the calls. There's our wrench and go drive of the game. And you wonder, I wonder what Brewers fans think of what might be the most impressive thing going on during this run. 16 of 20. I mean, that is just, I mean, you want to talk about a turnaround? Guys, come on. I mean, there's not many that expected 16 of 20 since late August. I mean, you could shrink that down to maybe even more impressive at 14 of 16. But again, off the offense, I don't know. Maybe some people are impressed with that, just considering that Christian Yelich is no longer with them. So I could understand that answer if you think the offense is the most impressive thing during this run. But here's what it comes down to. Does it come down to the most impressive thing during this run, the starting rotation, the bullpen, or simply Craig Counsell and the coaching staff? At some point, you got to start giving credit where credit's due. Yes, the players got to play the game. The players are in the box, and not much can help them out. Maybe there's a runner at second that tips them off to a certain pitch call. But outside of that, players got to play their game. And they don't get any help. It's one-on-one. It's pitcher against hitter. So is it the offense? Is it the starting rotation? Because, this starting rotation, yeah, they don't chew up a ton of innings, but that's not by their choice. All they can do is do the job that they're out there to do. And until they're lifted from the game, you heard Chase Anderson yesterday say it. Pitching shorter stints allows me to go out there, get in a better rhythm, just rear back and let it fly like my hair's on fire. It's what the man said. I can just let it fly for 50, 60 pitches. Zach Davies, same thing. 57 pitches tonight. Same thing. He goes four innings. That's not his fault. So I could understand the starting rotation not getting a bunch of love in this question. Bullpen, however, oh, man. Bullpen, does it compare to last year? No, not overall, not in its totality. But I tell you, they're on a roll right now. They're on a roll, almost every single one of them. And there's a ton of them out there. I get it, 14 out there. But they are on a roll. So are you most impressed during this run, 16 of 20, 14 of 16, with the offense, with the starting rotation, the bullpen, or Craig Counsell? And I threw the Craig Counsell in there because, again, it's been the love of Craig Counsell in the month of September, that's for sure. And I'm... You know, I'm right there with you guys on that. If that's the way you feel, I'm right with you. 414-799-1250. Keston Hira, two-run shot in that first inning. Adam Big Rig from Brewer Nation. I would love to see this kid's numbers with a full slate of 550 ABs in a season.
Yeah, and let's talk about some of those numbers, because if you add together AAA, and granted, we all know, level of competition at AAA is not exactly big league quality, but they were using the big league baseballs this year, so it's a little bit truer comparison from that that standpoint. But if you add up some of his numbers together, and he's got, let's see, I forget how many at-bats he had tonight, four. He's got 494 at-bats, and he has scored now 91 runs. He has 156 hits, 37 doubles, 93 RBIs.
Wow.
And the season's not over yet. Yeah, he's also struck out 157 times or 157 plus, whatever it was tonight. But, I mean, this is a hitting savant. We've heard it on the way up through the system. We heard it on draft day. We heard it, you know, with the college awards that he won. We've been hearing it about this guy for this tool, this skill, his unbelievable hitting ability that has obviously trumped his defensive shortcomings, that obviously trumps anything else he's got going on in his game of baseball. This kid can hit, and he has been big time for this lineup. Getting him back when Yelich went down was great timing, and if he can continue to, you know, progress physically, not have to come out of games early, and just help carry this team, hopefully, into October, and as long as this team is still playing.
And it's him and Trent Grisham. I mean, second consecutive night that Trent Grisham has come up with a big, big hit. He had the three-run triple yesterday late in a ball game. He has a two-run home run tonight late in a ball game. And then it's Keston Hira. You want to look at one of the sweeter swings in baseball. We all know that Christian Yelich has one of the, if not the sweetest swing, the most pure, balanced. Just those of you that truly love baseball, get off on that sort of stuff. Look at Keston here from the right side. When he gets it, when he barrels it, guys, it is one of the sweetest right-handed swings you're going to see. And you're going to see this kid for a long, long time. Number one. Number two, I will say this, and I got to be honest, you got to learn how to play some defense. You've got to learn how to play defense. Just all you want out of Keston Hira moving forward is improvement defensively. That's all you're looking for. He's not going to turn himself into a gold glove second baseman. It's not happening. Not anytime soon. But what you can hang your hat on is just give me some improvement month-to-month or year-to-year, et cetera. Hey, before we get to a call or two here, 799-1250, just interested in Brewers fans. I know we're loving it. We're loving the run. Want to know what you're most impressed by. I mean, the wins, yeah, okay, I could have put that on the list too. And we're all most impressed by the victories. 14 of their last 16. They've won 14 of 16. It's almost like it won't even settle in, right? It's almost like we're lying. That's not true. Not a lie, guys. It's not. 16. But, what is most impressive about it? We all love the wins. We all love Craig Counsell. Yeah, I threw Counsell into the poll as well, this unscientific poll. Offense, starting pitcher, or bullpen? I'll tell you what I'm most impressed with, and it's going to surprise you. It's not the offense, and it's not the bullpen. Because I think the bullpen is managed, it's governed a little bit more by Craig Counsell. It's more controlled. I think the starting pitchers are on an island, guys. I do. For as limited as the innings are, to me, that's most impressive, to shut these guys down, to give yourself time for the offense to put some runs on the board. And they're doing it night in and night out. I don't care if it's 4 1/3 or 5 1/3 or 5 flat. I really don't care. To me, that's most impressive, guys. It is, because think of the sentiment when you're streaking like this and you get buzz kills. Think of what would happen if one of these dudes stepped out there and gave up 3 in the first and followed that up with a 2-out, 2-run homer when you hang a breaker in the second inning. And you're down 5-0. That's the buzz kill. That's what may slow the roll here for the Brewers. To me, I'm most impressed with the starting pitchers. And I know that's the surprising answer, but I really believe that. Big Rig, before we get to calls, you?
Oh, I understand where you're coming from completely. The job that they're being asked to do, they're getting that job done night in, night out, over and over again. All 5 of those guys, even Gio now piggybacking with Woodruff in his last start. Those guys are doing what they've been asked to do, and that's setting the tone every single night, like you said. So, no, I totally understand where you're coming from there. I think that it's not on the poll, so maybe this would be an answer where I'd click offense. But I think this just the way, for me, the way that the team responded and kind of banded together, and maybe that's a council answer too, because he's kind of the catalyst in this, but they did not let themselves fall apart when their MVP went down.
True.
They did not let themselves fall apart when, you know, they had 5 games behind the wild card position not that long ago. So I think that's where I'm leaning, as far as, I don't know if that's more of a council answer, more of an offense answer, but
no,
this team rallied
together. I think it's offense. I do. You're seeing the amount of walks that they're drawing. And again, guys, we're looking at a team that has had some challenges, and the talent pool isn't quite where they want it to be. How about that for the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Miami Marlins and the San Diego Padres? Padres just fired their manager. So, I mean, I get that, but still, these guys were, you know, looking at the stars for a chunk of the year and whiffing at a big-time rate. But what is most impressive during this run? Because the entire run is an absolute blast. And it looks like, and I'm not guaranteeing anything, but it sure looks like there's the postseason in the future of the Brewers. Just 7 games remain. They're 15 over 500. 3 up on your nearest competitor trying to chase you down for that second wild card. 1 back of the number 1 wild card position, 3 back in the division. Not quite ready to throw in the flag on the division yet, but let's get to you guys. 414-799-1250 to Caledonia. We say good evening to Ed. He picked up the phone and called the fan. Hey, Ed.
Hey, it's been a while. Hey, Abe, you know, just the Rig actually said similar to what I was going to say, but for me, though, what I would say is everybody's doing what they're asked to do with team chemistry, and I'll explain why. Even before Christian Yelich went down, I started to see it. You started to see it. Everybody started doing what they were asked to do, so that when Christian went down, it was no big deal. All of a sudden, we got Woodruff and we got Keston back in. But with the gears were already turning. The bullpen, yeah, it's been great, but they couldn't have done it without some amazing defensive plays late in the game, right? And sometimes the pitching, we all know pitching and hitting rarely works together at the same time. So one has been there when the other hasn't.
Right.
And they picked each other up in those games. So that instead of going, you know, 12-5, we're going, you know, getting an extra 3 or 4 games in the win column. So I'm impressed. You can't say it's just Craig Counsell, because he can say, hey, I'm doing what I got to do, but guys have to execute. The players can say they're doing what they got to do, but all the pieces got to work together. And finally, they're working. If you ask Mark Adonazio, hey, what are you impressed by? I think he would say, what I'm paying for, what I put in place, the pieces are finally working together the way they were supposed to for 5 months.
And what do you I mean, really, Ed, real quick, I just want a fan's perspective here. What do you say to some fans and some naysayers that are saying, well, you're beating up on some crappy teams? It's the Pirates, it's the Padres, it's the Marlins.
Well, because we also did the same thing to St. Louis, and we did well against the Cubs. So, I mean, when you take 3 of 4 against a division team and you win, you sweep teams like the Marlins. It was funny because I was watching baseball with a buddy at a bar down here in Caledonia, and we were both saying, you know, this is impressive, but we can't sit here and be like, wow, we just swept the Marlins. We got to say, oh, that's really good, because you should expect to beat the Marlins. And in years past, we didn't. So yep. we're finally doing well against the good teams, and we're sweeping the hell out of the other teams, and we're doing what we should be. But I'm impressed that literally every category of this team is clicking and picking each other up. Christian goes down. Hey, if he was in there, maybe we'd be on an 18-0 run right now. I don't know. Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, you just lost a couple of – Ed, thanks a lot. Good stuff. Yeah. Just a couple of days ago, you lost a 2-1 game. So, yeah, Yelich may have made the difference in that, and maybe that the run that they're on right now, the numbers I keep throwing out there are improved by one. We have to remember the schedule, too. And so he says, or some say, that the Padres, you have some Marlins, it's the Pirates, et cetera. Well, they played pretty good against the Phillies. Okay. But how about a sweep over the Nationals this year? How about winning three straight, three out of four, when you really needed it against the Cubs a week and a half ago? 2 weeks ago. Remember that? They lose game one of that four-game set and then take it off the sheet. Cubs, hey, they're falling apart a little bit late, but still a good baseball team. However, on the other side, it's still, I don't know why it does, it still bothers me that the Brewers got swept in Anaheim against the Angels. People forget that. It still bothers me that they got swept in San Diego in a three-game set and actually lost a 5 out of 6 against the San Francisco Giants and San Diego Padres on a trip out there. That was awful. But when it's crunch time, here's what's happening. That's the big thing. When it's crunch time, does it really matter who you play? I don't think it does. I really don't.
Well, they're also just playing the people on their schedule. Yeah, all these other teams got to play the Marlins twice. All these other teams got to play the Padres twice. It's not the Brewers' fault that they happened to be scheduled at the end of September and that all of those teams, which had promising outlooks for this season, maybe not world beaters, maybe not, you know, playoff contenders, but these are teams that everybody sort of expected to take at least a couple of steps forward, at least in the Padres and the Pirates. Nobody expected them to be this bad and especially not imploding at this point of the year. And they split with the Astros recently. I mean, they've been doing work.
Yeah, they have. The 7-5 trip there again. I mean, this hasn't been all just cupcakes here. That's, to me, that 7-5 run when you played the Cardinals, Cubs, Astros, and Cubs, that 7-5 run in those 12 games determined to me that they are very capable of getting on a run. When they lost Yelich, I think we did see a little different approach at the plate, guys. Now, I don't know if that was actually discussed internally. I don't know if this is just an Andy Haynes thing, that he's conveying the messages around the batting cage to this offense. But I think we're seeing the amount of walks. I haven't seen this in a long time. Big Rig, you've been following Brewers baseball. The amount of walks that they are drawing right now is just almost unprecedented for a team.
Yeah, they've really been patient at the plate. I mean, led by Grandal, has been doing it all season long. But I think right now, for whatever reason, some of those borderline pitches are going their way. Early in the season, we saw a lot of called third strikes, especially with guys like Jesus Aguilar. He was a big he had a big problem with that earlier in the year. But yeah, these guys have been patient. They've been knowing the strike zone. They've been okay being the selfless act of drawing the walk, you know, moving the line along. So it's been really big.
Yeah, it's been huge, and they get another big win, and they're all big. Three back of St. Louis in the division, three over Chicago, as the Cubs are just imploding down there in Chicago. Now, I you know, those that didn't hear about it, Craig Kimbrel blew another one. He's in the game trying to close out a Cubs victory, and almost absolute must win for the Cubs for the division. They lose it on two consecutive pitches, home run balls, to Molina and DeJong, and I got to say, I don't know who to root for or against in that series. I really don't. We're still trying to pick our brains on that. But I have to say, as much as I hate that Chicago Cub team, I couldn't help but just laugh. I'm sorry. I had to laugh. We're going to make the playoffs anyway. So it doesn't bother me. Oh, yeah, it does. It does big time. Brewers division hopes not completely done, because now if the Cubs beat the Cardinals tomorrow and the Brewers win tomorrow, we're gonna find out maybe that there's a fantastic finish even bigger than what's going on right now. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50. Tim Allen, visitor in studio from Brewer Nation on Twitter. You might want to check out, if you're into Brewers baseball, Big Rig's got it covered right there, Brewer Nation on Twitter. And we'll hear from Craig Counsell coming up.
In every game, there's a moment when you say to yourself, are you kidding me? Here's the Gene Wagner Plumbing, are you kidding me? Moment of the game. Gene Wagner Plumbing, celebrating over 50 years in business. For any residential, commercial, or industrial plumbing needs, go to GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
It's pretty damn impressive when you rattle off 14 of 16 games in the month of September to get yourself right back in the heat and a comfortable, I shouldn't say comfortable, but a good situation to hit the postseason pay window. And that's where the Brewers are headed, it looks like, with seven to play. And we'll get to our You Kidding Me moment of the game in just a bit here. 414-799-1250 as they get a 10-1 win tonight. And maintain a three-game lead over the Cubs in the second wild card, a one-game deficit to the Nationals for the first wild card, and three games back in the Central. Jeff and Butler, what's been the most impressive thing throughout this run here?
Impressive thing, I'll tell you what, guys. Here's the deal. You guys know my love for Hira. Hira's awesome, but I'll tell you what, Grisham and Spangenberg have stepped up to the plate. And meaning stepped up to the plate, you guys know what I mean.
I think we do. Thanks for the call, Jeff. All right, so I'm going to assume he's impressed with the offense. You do have a gamer just like that, all left-handed bats in Spangenberg, Trent Grisham, as well as Ben Gamel. You're in really good shape. I mean, if you faced another team that had a stable of lefties out there, I think that neutralizes that. You're probably a little bit more on the lighter side off the bench from the right-handed position offensively. But they're in really good shape against right-handers, guys. They really are. And it's been like that way, maybe too much to a degree that's a little bit too much for my liking. I would have liked to have seen a guy like Tyler Austin, type hitter, throughout the season where you did get some right-handed thump, and that was Jesus Aguilar. Guys, it was. So they took a big hit on Zeus falling apart a little bit here in Milwaukee, but Jeff impressed with that offense. You know what I'm impressed with? Those of you that were at the game tonight and you stayed the whole game, fan appreciation night or weekend, and then a big night in which they gave away a bunch of cool prizes, including the car. At the end of the game, I don't know if they've been doing this all year. Somebody can tell me that not only goes to a lot of the games, but stays till the final out. Here's the song that they played after the victory tonight. I mean, it is... Now, you guys, longtime listeners of this show, you know where my love affair is at with music. I took a night off a few weeks ago. Went to see this group in Madison with my son and my sister. But, yeah, this song right here. Evan, that would be your cue to actually play it. There you go. So you recognize this song? And I know it's for the people that are a little up on years. What I want, you got, it might be hard to handle. Okay, so it's a song by Hall & Oates. It's called You Make My Dreams Come True. Have they been playing that after victories, Big Rig? Do you know?
Yeah, it's been the song all year.
It has been the song. I didn't know that.
Well, you never get to stay till the end of the game.
True. Check it out. Wow. Okay, I didn't know that. I like that. Are you kidding me? Moment of the game. That's it right there. Hey, you learn something new every day. I just did not know that. That's brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. And check him out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. And I know we've been calling this the run that the Brewers are on. Baby Tyler and myself gravitating a little bit toward running down a dream from Petty, which would be cool. I get that, but... Can't wait for the next game. That's the type of situation the Brewers are in right now. And how far can they go? I mean, if you're going to play the Dodgers, which is, it's looking like that's who they will face if getting through the wild card game. Now, I'm not going to rule out that division quite yet. But if indeed that's the case, they would have to get by the Nationals. That game and its location to be determined yet. If they end up in a tie and there's a one-game separation right now, that game's at Miller Park, guys. That's why, okay, if they win that one, you play the Dodgers, shorter set. You'd rather play them there than a seven-game set. Would you agree with that, Big Rig?
I mean, I heard you and Billy talk about it yesterday, and I'm not opposed to that viewpoint. I think you have the chance to come in, punch somebody in the mouth, and really kind of set the stage for in a short series. Plus, remember the fact that earlier this year, what did the Brewers do? When the Dodgers, and the Dodgers still have an amazing home record this year, but they went to L.A. when everybody else was going in there and losing, getting swept. The Brewers took two out of three in Chavez Ravine. So, yeah, I think that if you're going to play the Dodgers in the postseason anyway, take your chances in a five-game series. Yes, the Dodgers did win three of the first five games in the NLCS last year, but, you know, different situation, different players, et cetera, play the games, you know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I recall me talking on the air about those two Dodgers series. There was a three-gamer, as you said, out in L.A., and there was a four-gamer here. And I think through the first six, were they not tied at three apiece? I think I recall talking about that, or I think at some point after the six games, I believe they were tied. We can check it out to see how that shook out. But, I mean, that's really the situation that the Brewers are in. Are you rooting for the Cubs tomorrow? If you want the division, the Cubs need to beat the Cardinals tomorrow. That would put the Brewers two back with a victory. Of the division, with six games remaining, pick up a game, a series. I know that's tough. It is still tough, guys. I won't say it's insurmountable, but it is tough to pick up a game, a series. It's like you would have to sweep and they still win two out of three. You get the game. They lose two out of three. You win two out of three. Okay, you get it. But it's certainly tough. Where the Cardinals, their destiny is in their own hands. I mean, what do they have left? 3-3-1. I believe they have seven games left themselves. I mean, they win five of those. They lock out. They lock out anybody, including the Brewers. Are you rooting for the Cubs tomorrow? To win the division, I got to say yes.
Yeah, I think you may as well root for the Cubs at this point because you've got a cushion. So even if the Brewers do have a misstep along the way, you still have a cushion. And if you can run down, the only way you're running down the Cardinals is if the Cubs help you. So root for the Cubs tomorrow. And if the Brewers happen to lose two, meaning also, and then say it happens again, you know, in the series against Cincinnati that the Brewers lose and the Cubs creep closer, then, yeah, it's fine. Let St. Louis just put them away next weekend.
Right.
So be it.
Right. And maybe the Cubs are playing. I mean, you could see a situation if the Cubs really are falling apart where you're rooting for the Cubs to sweep the Cardinals next weekend because the Brewers would be too far in front of them. No matter what happens, they couldn't touch them. Because right now, it's already at three. I mean, right now, in a final series, the best they could do is tie if you fast forward to the final three games. So there's still a scenario in which I believe this, and wouldn't that be the story?
Oh, man.
Back-to-back years. Game 163 on the road to determine the division winner, the division champion.
Man.
I tell you where my money's at. If they get to that point, Big Rig, Brewers are going to win that game again.
Oh,
there's no way you could bet against them.
Yes, because if for no other reason than to get to that point from here, the Brewers would have to be continuing to streak. The Cardinals would have to have hit a slump, and it would be lining up perfectly for you.
Yeah, that's cool. Craig Counsell, we're going to hear from him up next. If you want to join the conversation, you can do so, 414-799-1250. It's Tim Allen and company. Let me get a quick update on that survey and that poll we're doing on Twitter there. Sam Schmitz, we put out the question, what are you more impressed with during the Brewers' run here? Offense, starting pitching, bullpen, and then we threw Counsell in there as well.
Yep. Currently, 45% say the bullpen, 37% say the starting rotation, and the remaining 18% are pretty impressed with the offense so far.
Can I just lobby for the starting rotation again? I knew the bullpen was going to win this because they have been impressive. Don't get me wrong. But the starting pitching, guys, has been literally dominating. It has been. It hasn't been long, though. There hasn't been length there, and I think that's why it doesn't get the love it should get right now. This team is playing with leads because of that rotation, because of the starting rotation. They're just playing a playoff style of game from the first batter, letting it fly, knowing full well they're not going length. I mean, at some point, Council gets such an itchy trigger finger with offense because he knows he has to. That's the thing with this offense. Without Yelich, and even with Yelich, they had struggled at times. When you get an opportunity to get offense, even if you're up 2, 3, 4 runs, he went for more today in the bottom of that fourth inning. You went for more. You got Zach Davies to get through 4 with 1 unearned run given up. I mean, he did his job, and he did it just in dominating fashion. Chase Anderson yesterday, 6 shutout innings. I could go on and on. Woody and Gio the other day. You know, the first of which was a couple of innings from Woodruff. You understand that? And then Gio pops in and throws 3. So between the two guys, you get 1 start that goes 5 innings. I mean, these guys have been, Adrian Hauser, these guys have been day in, day out. So that's why I'm lobbying for the starting rotation. They've been super good. Super good.
Yeah, I mean,
love it.
They're just kind of all long relievers at this point, right? Council calls them out-getters for a reason. So those guys take the ball first, but, I mean, pitching 3, 4 innings, everybody's doing their job. That's the best
Thank part. Thank you, Sam, for that. Big Rig is here from Brewer Nation. My name is Tim Allen, and we've got another Brewers victory, 10-1 final. They're 15 games over 500. 15 over. Prior to this run, the highest they had been was 38-28, 10 games over 500. You do the math, that was prior to the All-Star break. It was months ago. They couldn't get out of their own way in terms of wins and losses. They'd bounce up to 5 over and then dip back down to 2. In fact, at one point, were they not at 1 game over 500? I think at one point this year they were. Now 15 over at 85-70, 3 behind the division-leading St. Louis Cardinals, 3 above the Chicago Cubs, and 1 game back where the Nationals hold wild card 1, 1 game above the Brewers sitting in wild card number 2. Postseason starts today. Brewers are in again. Second consecutive year. It looks like the way the numbers are shaken out, the way the schedule is shaken out, and the way the days on the calendar are ripped off, looks like the Brewers are headed to the postseason this year. It kind of does. We're going to hear from Craig Council next here on The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 15 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Craig, you've talked in the past about pulling your starter maybe a little early when he's going for runs, and you got some, and you know, it ended up working again. It's been a formula that you've had success with. I'm sure the starters would love to go longer, but...
Yeah, I mean, I really... It was just, I thought we had a chance to break the game open. You know, we ended up getting 4 at-bats with the bases loaded that inning. And we scored a couple and made it and gave us some space, which I thought was important. But, yeah, I mean, Zach was throwing the ball very well, doing his thing, doing it really well. It was just, you know, it's that spot where if, you know, I just think it's sometimes the most important inning is earlier in the game. And I thought we could attack them right there and put runs on the board, create separation, and then it'd be, you know, we had Brent. The other thing is that it's the pitcher behind him, and we have Brent who's been throwing the ball so well, and I know I can go to him for 2 innings, and it's, you know, it's a good, if you feel like you're putting a really good pitcher in the game. So it, you know, Zach did his job with, and that's also kind of a function of what last night accomplished for us. You know, we get a good night last night, and it allows us to do that.
How much of the walks impacting those big innings and extending innings?
Yeah, we did a good job. I think we had 6 walks tonight, and in that inning, it was, you know, Travis Shaw, 0-2 count, worked his way back to a walk, Moose with the walk, Grish with the walk. So that inning was just patience, a lot of 2-strike at bats and patience.
Greg, you have a margin for error so small, yet you guys have gone 15-2 in your last 17. It's easy for guys to say, well, you don't have to think about the pressure, but with the way things are going in the division, obviously, you know, with the Cubs and Cardinals show today, like, that rare is zero right now. What does that say to the mentality this team has right now going to the market?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how we're treating it is, and that's how we've treated it for a long time. I think and the guys in the room have done a phenomenal job of treating it like that. It's not easy to, you know, we say, you know, every game's the biggest game of the year. But treating it like that is sometimes mentally taxing. And I think our guys have handled that challenge exceptionally well.
Your 2 banged up veterans, Kane and Braun, got some awful big hits. But then, you know, Grisham did too. He just continues to contribute when you put him in there as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of guys doing good things, you know, and you know, I thought Moose and Yaz on the road trip, they carried the freight, so to speak, and Brawny obviously on Sunday, and Braun's done a nice job. Lowe's had a great homestand, so that's what we need. We need a bunch of guys to be a different guy every night, and we're getting to that place really well right now.
Just to have back-to-back games of 10 runs, I mean, what does that do in terms of giving you breathing room? Different guys in the pen.
Yeah, we're in great shape for tomorrow. We got Woody on the mound. We got Gio's right behind him, and we got, you know, obviously guys like Josh and Drew have not pitched, so it's we're in good shape. And like I said, the previous game, you know, yesterday's game affected today's game, what we could do. So it's and it'll be the same case tomorrow.
You know, Suter's been kind of the unexpected wild card in this whole thing. I mean, it's not something you could count on, and then you turn around, I think you would give up one run in 14 and some innings. I mean,
yeah, you're right. I think, you know, we saw in the month of August, I think we all kind of watched and how his rehab went, and his rehab went exceptionally well. I think he gave it one run and maybe a similar amount of innings in his rehab. He's come up here and he's been incredible. I mean, the amount of pitches that it's taking him to get through innings is shocking, really. It's you just don't see it. And he's obviously works fast. He's in the zone. The hitters are not comfortable. But he has, you know, essentially he's controlled middle of games for us. And it's, you know, six or so games now where he's absolutely controlled a couple innings in the middle of the game.
Craig, is it hard not to notice that you're creating some separation with the Cubs now for in the wild card race? I mean, do you look at that at all?
Well, we know what happened today. It was a crazy game down there. You know, I think, you know, our formula is working, and that's stick to worrying about us. You know, and look, we got 7 tough games. We got an incredibly tough road trip. That's I think is underrated tough with some of the pitchers we're facing. So we got a lot of work still to do, and that's how we got to think about it. A lot of work still to do.
You push so hard now for 3 weeks. You got to do one more, don't you? It's sometimes it's not fair to say, oh gosh, you got to do 4, but you got to do 4, don't you?
No, I mean it was going to take 4 weeks from the start. We knew that. We're playing good baseball. And we got to play one more week of good baseball.
Great. Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by the Laborers International Union, Local 113. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org.
Yeah, we just heard from Craig Counsell, so did you, and 3 things jumped out at me with Craig Counsell, and he's right there at the end. You got to play another tough week of baseball. You got to play a good week of baseball and seal this deal into the postseason. I just love saying that. Not that I had some... not that I gave up on this team, but boy, it was looking tough at one point. It really was. But there was still a chance, and the run did... the run was always in front of them, and they finally got going, and they haven't stopped in a while, guys. One more week. So that's one of the things that jumped out at me. The other was his conversation about Brent Suter, and we'll check his numbers in just a couple of minutes here. Just amazing what he has done. He just not only his presence, and I know we've made some jokes and had some fun about Brent Suter being almost like a team mascot to this organization. I mean, he really has been dominating as a pitcher. And you don't look at Brent Suter's stuff necessarily as sort of a dominating type guy. A guy that throws 86, 88. He throws with quick pace. We're all aware of that. But you just never thought of him as a dominating pitcher, whether it be a starter or a reliever. But as a swing man here for the Brewers, since coming back from Tommy John, just amazing. And then the final thing that jumped out at me right there with counts was they all are the biggest games of the year. They are. But he added an addendum to that, and it was that can be mentally taxing. And I think that's where his expertise comes in and his experience in Arizona, in Florida, in his runs into the postseason and World Series and title. That, I mean, it can't do anything but help. And that's where this comes into play. That was big to hear him say, yeah, they're all biggest games of the year, but that can get you. That can get you between the ears. And that's why maybe Craig Counsell is quickly becoming one of the better managers in the game. He is, guys, he is. All right, let's get to some of the numbers here. Big Rig, what jumped out at you inside the box?
Also, that's why they call Counsell a manager and not a head coach in baseball. Okay.
True.
Let's see. First and foremost, Trent Grisham leading off the game. Three hits, a big home run, two runs, three RBIs, a walk. I mean, the guy did everything today. Yasmani Grandal, here's a shock. He drew a walk tonight. Mm-hmm. Going down the line, you had big games out of Braun. Two hits, three at-bats, two RBIs, two runs scored. Lorenzo Cain, 3-for-4 with two RBIs. I mean, the veterans were getting it done. The role players were stepping up. It was a good game, you know, a lot of extra base hits, a lot of clutch moment hits, two out hits, just a good all-around performance. And then as you go down the box score, you see these pitchers. Zach Davies, four innings pitched, one unearned run, and zeros the rest of the way out, Timmy. A couple of hits here and there, six hits overall in the game for the pitching staff, but a big, fat goose egg in the earned run column. And just the one run given up overall. So,
and for those of you that want to look at run differential like it's the top stat in all of baseball, I mean, okay. So two games gets you a plus 18. I'm not a big run differential guy. I know the disparity between teams like Houston and L.A. and the Yankees at plus 200 and 20, 30, 40, where the Brewers are now just right around even, I would guess. I don't know where they sit exactly, but they're right around even in the run differential. Doesn't matter, does it? Brewers 85 and 70 after the victory tonight. 42,888 at Miller Park. And speaking of attendance, guys, going to come up just short. And I don't say that negatively. I say that in a real positive way. Just under 3 million in attendance after tomorrow's gate. Just under 3 million. You're probably within 90 or 80,000. Of 3 million, 2.9 plus after tomorrow's gate. Just absolutely amazing. And it's just a testament to the fans. It really is. Lorenzo Cain steps up. You had mentioned Braun and Cain with some big step up. And that's what veterans do here, and they did that tonight, as well as Grisham and Keston Hira. But we're going to hear from Lorenzo Cain after the break here. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag Admirals50 here after a Brewers 10-1 win.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes post-game update as we take you inside the clubhouse. You're listening to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball post-game show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Another Brewers victory, back-to-back 10-1 victories, and they go to 15 over 500 and 3 above the Cubs in that second wild card position. But the Nationals with a win tonight, the Brewers stay just a game back of that. That's pretty important there. They're right in the thick of that, obviously, with 7 games to play. They could easily host that wild card game, and that is, well... The Brewers did have a sweep over the Nationals at Miller Park earlier this year, if that's any indication of where the game should be played or would be better being played at. It would be Miller Park. Who got lit up? Brought to you by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Heiser.com. Yeah, the Pittsburgh Pirates pitching staff. Now, the Brewers offense has been advertised as decent. Right, at the very least, I don't know if you could call them great, the runners in scoring possession. You could point to a lot of stats that would say that the Brewers' offense is below average or just below average or right around average. But I'll tell you, they lit up the Pittsburgh Pirates here so far through 2 games. And I don't know if that's saying anything because you saw what the Cubs' offense did against them last weekend, putting up football scores on them. Well, the Brewers doing the same thing a weekend later. And we'll take that, but they definitely are getting lit up over this span here. This portion of the show brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. You have to have a good mix and contributions from up and down that lineup, and that has been a conversation piece the last several weeks, and they're getting it. You heard Big Rig right there from Brewer Nation go through some of the box numbers. In that Trent Grisham, a 3-hit game with a walk, 2-run home run. But then you look at Brawny with a couple of hits and 2 knocked in. Lorenzo Cain, a 3-hit game with a couple of RBIs. So you get the veterans pitching in as well. You heard Chase Anderson. I thought was really interesting. Brawny keeping us all together. That's what Chase Anderson said about Ryan Braun last night. That was, I do want to get more into that. Possibly tomorrow afternoon with Baby Taos when he's back in here. But that is that's a really interesting conversation piece to have. And that's a point that Brawny keeping this thing together. I not only think it's Braun, but I also think it's Lorenzo Cain. No matter where he's hitting in the lineup, I think he's earned, just by example, the respect from a lot of these guys on this roster, certainly the younger players, to see this guy hobbled up a little bit throughout the year, a thumb injury, a knee injury. Lately, it's been an ankle injury. And still going out there and grinding through this thing, it's been amazing to see. That's pretty cool, and that's been a driving force, I think, for a good chunk of this run that the Brewers are on. Let's hear from Lorenzo Cain. As he got it done tonight, 3 hits and a couple of RBIs.
Lorenzo, this stretch run's been pretty remarkable now. You guys have done it for 3 weeks. You got one more to go now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. You know, like I say, we didn't play as well throughout the season, you know, as well as we would like. But like I said, we've been turning on this last 2 weeks. And like I say, having another great September, so. Hopefully we can continue to play well and, you know, finish this thing out.
You and Ronnie, the old guys, did it tonight. The kid and Grisham too, right?
You called me old, huh?
You're the one that says 33.
Yeah, you're right. But, it was, you know, guys stepped up in a big way. You know, pitching did a great job. Got a few hits myself. You know, it always feels good to contribute and, you know, add to the success out there. And, you know, as a team, we did a great job, you know. Trent swung the bat well, Brawny, you know, a lot of guys stepped up and found a way to get the win.
Well, you're really banged up right now, and I know you're playing through a lot, but is it easier to play through the pain when the team is rolling like this?
Yeah, when you're winning, you know, you definitely want to be out there and help out. Like I say, it definitely helps, you know, to get through it, you know, a little bit easier. So, you know me, I'll be out there regardless of the situation. So I just happy we were on the winning side as of late, and it definitely feels good to win.
You played on a lot of winning ball clubs in your career. It's a lot easier for guys to say that you just got to come out and play one game at a time. For this club, what you've seen the last 2 years, what is different about you guys that helps you come out, you know, be able to chase down a team last year and be able to do the same thing this year?
Yeah, you know, we got that never die, never quit attitude in here. Like I said, we lost our MVP, you know, to the kneecap, but yeah, guys have stepped up, you know, in his absence, and you know, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a good ride. You know, that's what we're gonna need to get to where we want to be. Guys continue to play well, you know, pitching, defense, guys swinging the bat. So we're doing a great job of it right now. But you know me, I'm not satisfied until we're in, you know, for sure. So gotta keep battling and keep going.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. I'm a little bit nervous now. Things are looking better, but you just never know in baseball and in a playoff race situation when there's multiple teams and a lot of moving parts. You're just never content until you do hit that pay window, as Bob Uecker would say. And they haven't yet to do that, but getting closer, three games up on the Cubs, they're in a wild card postseason position as we speak with just seven games remaining. That destiny is controlled by this team. Do 2.5 games better than the Chicago Cubs at this time, and you're in. It's as simple as that, with just seven to play. It's pretty amazing. Everyone needs to step up, and he just mentioned that without Yelich. I think it's more than that, I do, and not to knock what Lorenzo Cain just said, but I think it's more than just Yelich that's gone. There's a lot of pieces that have been missing in this run here, if you will, and in this season. The Corey Knebel and the Jeremy Jeffress from last year, and we could go on with the injuries and with lack of production. There's no Zeus with an all-star season knocking 35 home runs out of the park. There's no Travis Shaw, Steady Fred at that plate in the middle of your lineup. It's tough. It is tough in that regard. So it's more than just losing Yelich, but boy, they have stepped up. Is it true, Big Rig, before we get to the Suter numbers, they've only lost one game since Yelich has been out?
Yeah, that sounds right, didn't it? It's two games.
It is two games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just two games. I believe they're, 7-2? 7-2 since Yelich is out. That's just an amazing run. That, too, I'm telling you, is amazing. But it's more, big picture, it's more than just the loss of Yelich. Brent Suter, an outstanding job since coming back from Tommy John. I really, it's almost like when you meet Zach Davies and he's in civilian clothes, there's no way you would think he's a very successful Major League Baseball player. Brent Suter's sort of the same way, only he's got a Brewers uniform on. He's got a big league uniform on. And the way he throws and the velocity he throws, you would say, oh, wow, okay. A September call-up type guy, wave the white flag type guy. Brent Suter has turned into an absolute weapon this year, guys. Look at these numbers here. You've got them in front of you, Big Rig. They've been just outstanding. Another two scoreless innings for Brent.
Yeah, if we're just talking about the major league numbers so far, that since he's come off the IL, he's 3-0 record, a .63 ERA because it's just one earned run. He's pitched in seven games now. He's even got a hold on the year, but 14 and a third innings pitched, only six hits, just the one solo home run, like I said, 11 strikeouts, hasn't walked a guy yet. Opponents are hitting .122. I mean, just up and down the stat line here, it's just quality numbers. He gave up zero runs during his rehab stint throughout all the levels of the minors that he pitched at. The guy, and now he's coming in, multi-inning stints. He's pushing, yeah, they said, for pitching consecutive games, but council's kind of, you know, slow your roll there, Suter. We got to protect you still. But he's been dynamite. And like you said, he's been a true weapon. He's developed into this guy that can roll out there in a number of different situations and count on out.
Yeah, it's a legit weapon. It is. And, you know, special season, special stories, that's one of them. It really is. And who knows how this season's going to turn out to call or define it special? I don't know. But so far, it seems like a special year to me, or at least a special finish. And it's made out of those stories right there. 14 innings of one-run baseball. Does not have a walk on the ledger. It's just amazing. Really is. Let's hear from Brent Suter after this victory.
Brent, this formula of kind of using the village of pitchers, mm-hmm, just keeps working. What can you say about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it starts with our starter. Zach set a great tone today, really just attacking the zone, making great pitches, and we just kind of followed suit off that. And we did our jobs today, both offensively and defensively, to come out with a great win.
How nice is it for you to be in the mix of this as compared to last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's personally, it's very fulfilling, I'll be honest, because last year kind of missing out on it, just being on the bench the whole time. It was cool, but it wasn't the same as being out there and contributing. So it's definitely on a personal level. It's been really a dream come true, and happy to help out.
Craig says this has been like a playoff every day for 3 weeks. Now you got one more week to go. Can you keep pushing?
Yeah, we can do it. We got the depth to do it. We've got a bunch of weapons out in the bullpen and on the bench, position player wise, to do it. So I'm really confident that we're going to continue this run.
Is it hard not to notice that you're creating a little separation from the Cubs?
We notice it, but all we can do is control the games we play here and getting the job done and getting wins. So all that will take care of itself if we just keep winning games. So that's what we got to do.
You guys pretty good at not looking ahead, aren't you?
Pretty good, yeah. It's kind of similar to last year in that every day is that must win, and it accentuates our play every day, which has been really a calling card for these last couple runs. Last three Septembers have been kind of like that, just must win every day, and it's a good mindset to have.
You guys sort of thrive under that, it seems like.
Yeah, it gets us present in the moment, you know what I mean? We're not worrying about yesterday, we're not worrying about the future, it's all just today, getting the job done today, and that's just a good way to live life in general, is just kind of being in the moment, so it's been great for us, yeah.
But really, baseball, when you play every day, right? I mean,
for sure.
Sport, if you don't treat it that way, you're in trouble, aren't you?
For sure, yeah. It's the next game's coming right at you, so you're forced to do it. And I think just on personal notes, a good life lesson's can be taken from that, you know what I mean, of just living every day to the fullest and trying to do our best every day. Yeah.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking, sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at ffpwi.com.
All right, Brewers go back at it. A 1-10 first pitch. Game 3 of this 3-game set. Game 7 of this 7-game homestand. They're trying to go 6-1 through the stand. And they're trying to make it 15 of 17 victories. 15 in their last 17 games. Just amazing to me. It really is. Trevor Williams on the hill for the Pirates, coming in at 7-7 and a 5.56 ERA. And that's Brandon Woodruff. We'll get another start here as you can't really define it as your standard opener. Right, Big Rig from Brewer Nation?
Yeah, you're more of the traditional Craig Counsell initial outgetter.
Or short start, maybe, on the men's start for Woody. I could see them putting that pitch count up to around the 60 mark, I would think, in the start tomorrow. If he can get through 4, that would be good. 15 pitches per inning. But certainly 3 is within reach. He went 2 his last time out. They're going to piggyback Gio Gonzalez, the left-hander, after Woody's day is done. So we'll see what happens. Woody coming in, a 3.69 ERA and an 11-3 mark. And there's your matchup for tomorrow. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on deck show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. That'll get you ready at noon tomorrow. And I know there's a football game or two going on tomorrow, but there's a pennant race baseball game, which might rule supreme tomorrow. I know Packer fans get on me a little bit for that, but nonetheless, after the last pitch tomorrow, make the switch. We'll be talking Brewers baseball on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are #Admirals50. Thanks to our crew at Miller Park tonight. Another nice job behind the glass. Sam Schmitz, Evan Heffelfinger, and Big Rig, thanks for coming in again from Brewer Nation on Twitter.
It's always a good time, Timmy. Hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And the run continues. Just 7 to play here. Brewers 85-70. And the proverbial beat goes on in the 2019 championship season. You guys have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow. And remember, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.